morning. We have a selection today. It's Sing, Sing, Sing. It is one that I hope many of you are familiar with, because I would ask you to sing it along with us, if you are so moved. You'll notice that we have some folks up here that might be in a role here a little bit different from seeing them. We have Doug as our percussionist today, and Bev has been so kind to play bass. They, of course, have guitar, my daughter Julia on the vocals. So again, please do sing with us if you are so moved.
And make music with the heavens, we will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us. Like a fire burning, Son of with the heavens, we will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. Sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us, we shout your praise. Lift high the name. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name. Jesus.
Good morning, Village. Thanks so much to the Village Baptist Church Ensemble for that offering they gave us this morning. Can't wait to hear your next piece that you have for us. Today, I'll be reading the scripture. It's from 2 Corinthians 5:1-7, and it's my privilege to be able to read this morning to you. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
By faith, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He never failed me yet. And I'm singing, oh, 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 can't turn around. We've come this far by faith.
Faith is a song hummed. It is the steady beat of our belief in the ultimate authority and sovereignty of God. No music, no instrumentation, no human composer. Faith is not a performance or even a public service. At any moment, faith can go from a whisper to a shout, from private confession to public declaration. But all the time, it is hummed. It is a continuous stream of the spiritual life. Not to be confused with background music, it is the underlying sound. The underpinning of our existence, the backbone of the universe. This faith is the buzz of heaven, the pulse of the divine that throbs in our souls. If it is our foundation, then when we are shaken, this faith is at the base of who we are. No matter what we lose or who has left us, faith is there waiting in the wings. No matter our deficiencies, we can have faith. In spite of our admission of various bankruptcies, no one can ever take our faith. Regardless of what is withheld, you can keep the faith. The writer of Hebrews said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, now pistis, now the conviction of truth, now belief is the foundation, the substructure of what we hope for." Faith is our proof and conviction of things not perceived based on our fluctuating feelings. Faith says that believing is seeing. Faith does not need support, but is the bearer of life's load. Faith is what carries us, and its posture, its permanency, need not be explained. Instead, faith is what allows life to make sense. Without faith, our existence would be meaningless, and without hope. When we are cornered by life and its circumstances, faith gets in the middle. It is what pushes back, what intervenes, what stops the attack, lest we become the latest victim of apathy, apostasy, cynicism, darkness, and despair. While a little bit of faith can go a long way, we can never get enough faith. To be sure, we are not holding on to faith. Instead, faith is holding on to us. So then, Christians do not pull themselves up by their mythical bootstraps. Instead, we are pulled up and out and through by the power of Christ's cross. The songwriter said, "Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me." In times like these, it might seem like our faith in God is at an all-time low, that the value of our stock in faith is plummeting, that the business of faith shows no profit but is in the red. This might seem like a good time to jump ship, to get out before it's too late, to put our faith in something else. Or it might seem like our faith is not enough, that it takes something more than faith. But there is nothing more than faith. We might believe that there is a scarcity of faith, or that we need not put all of our theological eggs into one basket. So we spread them around in hopes of securing our future. We believe in this and put our faith also in that. One of these has to be right. One of these has to work out. But the loss of faith in God is not a new concept or a new song. No breakout hit there. The words of unbelief are easy to memorize. If we are looking for volunteers, if misery needs company, there is no shortage of those who would join us in a rendition of Woe is Me. But suffering is a single verse, not our chorus. Victory is our song. Just keep humming. Truth be told, when God is silent, not moving fast enough, or delivering the results that we had expected, we begin to complain. When there seems to be too much time between the last miracle and the next one, we simply go out and get another God. In fact, the children of Israel teach us that if the leader, if the pastor, and in their case Moses, takes too long in sermon preparation, if he spends too much time with God, then they'll just worship something else. They will quickly give credit for their deliverance to something that they have made, because golden calves never go out of style. The children of Israel begin to sing, "We've come this far by the golden calf." And for every Moses, there is an Aaron. Aaron may walk alongside Moses, but he has not forgotten how to make an idol. He did not throw away his recipe for idolatry. He may speak for Moses, but he repeats after the people. His aim is to please them, and he leads based on the feelings of the congregation. Elected by the people, his leadership is tied to their hands. So instead of reminding them of the faith and of what God has done for them, he goes along with their theological whim, their ousting of Moses, and their betrayal of God. How quickly they forget, how quickly we forget what the Lord has done for us. Oh, but it is dangerous to tune out the hum of faith. And yet it can be hard to value faith when troubles rise and there is no immediate sign of relief. In fact, faith is one of the first things we toss out. We assume that believing in God is the last thing that we need, or that it will survive. We can come back and get God later. But for now, all hope is lost. However, Emil Brunner reminds us that it is one or the other. There is but one word strong enough to conquer despair, and that is faith. Either we despair or we believe. Nothing but faith is able to swallow up despair. There is no other alternative. We either trust God or we don't. And if you are not certain of your conviction, life has a way of letting you know what you believe and who you believe in. The first disciples were no different than the children of Israel. No matter the sermons and testimonies, the signs and wonders, when the time of testing came, they hid in the crowd, conformed to public opinion, denied Jesus, and sold him out, because it was easier and safer to forget about Jesus and what he'd done for them. They denied their cross for the golden calf, self-preservation. Theirs was not a blind faith, and still they could not see who Jesus was. They had yet to grasp that faith and suffering go hand in hand. It is a strange and yet beneficial partnership. You cannot have faith and know Christ without the experience of suffering. Jesus told his first disciples, and it bears repeating now, "In the world you will face persecution. You will have trouble and suffering, but take courage. I have conquered the world. Samuel Proctor wrote, when the news is bad and the reports on the human condition are at their very worst, the preacher must be prepared to give the assurance again and again, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The death of faith is predicted with every generation. This time and people are no different. With the rise in our belief in technology, a technocracy has emerged. As the beep, buzz, ping, and ring of our phones continue to command more and more of our attention, I join with the poet Rilke, who was busied with transferring God from the sphere of rumor into the realm of direct and daily experiencing. This morning, it is my task to spread this buzz from heaven. I pray that I might make the scriptures sing so that we might join in the hum of faith. We pick up the tune in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul talks about living by faith. Now, this is not an immature position or a premature declaration, as he has suffered for the sake of the gospel. Paul is not telling them what sounds good or leaving out details to somehow spare God's feelings or protect God's reputation or track record. Paul shares his testimony, proving that believing is not easy. Believing is dangerous. Believing is costly. He writes later in the letter that he has been beaten, even to the point of death, stoned, imprisoned, shipwrecked 3 times. Paul says on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in every city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. This is not a silver spoon gospel. And Paul not only suffers socially, but personally. He tells the church at Corinth that he has a thorn in his flesh, that a messenger of Satan has come to torment him, to buffet him, that he asks God to remove it, only for God to say, my grace is sufficient for you. He will have to live with the suffering. So then, the believer's life is not always good. It can even get worse for a time. You might ask, like Job, why do the wicked live on, reach old age, and grow mighty in power? Like Paul, you will discover that God's answer to prayer is not ours, that you can be in the will of God, serving in the name of God, and still have a thorn in your flesh. Faith is not based on our conditions, but our confession. Paul wrote, but just as we have the same spirit in faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us up also with him. Paul knows that not only is the thorn coming out, but that he's coming up. So Paul does not change his tune. He keeps right on humming. He puts no confidence in the flesh, and instead, this tent maker calls our bodies tents. This is a temporary housing arrangement. We have another building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our suffering is merely a condition of the tent and of life with Christ. For while we live, we will always be given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made more visible in our mortal flesh. To be sure, the hum is not to be confused with whining. Paul says to the church at Corinth and to us that God has prepared us for this, that we were made for this, that it comes with a guarantee in the person of the Holy Spirit. We have a formal promise and a blessed assurance that God finishes what God starts. God is present with us, directing while joining in the chorus, holding the note with arms outstretched on a cross. This is why we're always confident. This is why we do not lose heart. We're not walking on earth, but on Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We're not walking based on things seen, but holy vision, believing that Jesus Christ is the way. We are walking because he knows the end from the beginning, because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And faith is the way that God works. It is impossible to please God without it. And we cannot even get close to God without faith. For he who comes to God must first believe that God is. Then we are purified by faith, sanctified by faith, justified by faith, made the righteousness of God by faith. We are the children of God by faith. And even our access to grace is by faith. We walk by faith. We stand by faith. So then, Paul is right. The just shall live by faith. This is why we can't go back, why we can't turn around, why we can't take any credit for the progress we've made. If God had not been on our side, where would we be? It's not our discipline, our drive, our strength, or willpower. Don't make yourself an idol, another golden calf. It was the strength of God, and it was the word of God that kept you going. Give God the glory. We've come this far by faith. Let me hear you hum. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Oh, who are you trusting? Trusting in his holy word. He never failed. He never failed me yet. And we're singing, oh, we've come this far by faith. Amen. Now, because I really feel like preaching. If you don't know Jesus in the pardoning of your sins, if you don't know this faith that we're humming about, that we're singing about, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Or if you are without a church home, if you're visiting and you don't have a place to hum the faith, then the invitation is to come as the congregation stands to sing hymn number 635, I believe. I want Jesus to walk with me. Come on and stand. I got it.